Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, April 8th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Victoria Chitepo, the widow of the late national hero Herbert Chitepo, has died. President Robert Mugabe says Zimbabwe will try all it can to make war veterans happy.
We shall try to the best of our ability to do those things that should be done in order for the rest of our lives to be a little happier than they have been.
Zimbabwe's central bank imports cash in an attempt to ease money shortages.
We are importing more cash to meet the demand, but unfortunately, it's not overnight to be received in Zimbabwe.
And Zimbabweans speak out on the country's forthcoming 36th independence anniversary.
Whilst we are celebrating, all these people who died liberating in the war of liberation, if they're given a chance to look back and say what is happening in this country, honestly, they'll be disappointed.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Victoria Chitepo, the widow of the late national hero Herbert Chitepo, has died. According to the state-controlled Herald newspaper, the late 89-year-old former minister was also a member of ZANU-PF supreme decision-making body, the Politburo, was found dead today at her home by a relative. The newspaper reports that the relative who found her body had visited the home to ferry Chitepo to a ZANU-PF Central Committee meeting. The newspaper says her death was confirmed by her daughter Tokozile. Herbert Chitepo was ZANU chairperson. ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kaya was not available for comment. President Robert Mugabe says Zimbabwe will try all it can to make war veterans happy. Addressing thousands of war veterans yesterday in Harare, the president apologized for failing to hold regular meetings with the former freedom fighters over the years. The war veterans demanded a big stake in the country's political realm, including an increase in the number of ministerial posts, among several other issues. The president told the former fighters that the country will try by all means to take care of some of their needs.
You are the brave ones. I say well done to you. And thank God you're still alive. I'm sorry we have not had this opportunity before, nor have we had the facilities with which to thank you sufficiently. But as I said, we have tried now to have a ministerial facility which can, on a regular basis, tell us what should be done, and done quickly. And we shall try to the best of our ability to do those things that should be done in order for the rest of our lives to be a little happier than they have been. Just a little happier, because maximum happiness is not yet possible before we create resources. But we will try our best. All of us, as you see us, will be working together. Even those in defense, those in the public service. Some of you are in the public service, in the private sector.
That was President Robert Mugabe addressing war veterans in Harare yesterday. Critics and analysts have described as grandstanding and cheap politicking promises made by President Mugabe that he's ready to step down any time if his party or the people say so. Addressing thousands of former freedom fighters in Harare yesterday, the 92-year-old leader condemned elements in his ZANU-PF party fighting for his position, saying he was still firmly in charge. He said, quote, "I'm there at the mercy of the people. If the people say go, I go. The party, I go. But if the people say we still want you, I stay. Let's get organized. Let us not bother ourselves with succession and things like that." Unquote. Political analyst Brilliant Mhlanga tells Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo that President Mugabe is simply bluffing and has no desire to leave office.
So you are sort of daring people to say, well, if you feel you no longer want me, tell me directly. But he knows that no one is going to tell him that. Even when he invited the war veterans, he invited them, obviously, as a stunt of daring them to say, well, come and tell me this after I've beaten you up and water-hosed you the way he did a couple of months ago. So he is clear on what he's doing. That he is daring everyone, he's challenging them. He actually understands that he is, in effect, indeed the center of power and a kind of king, a monarchical leader. This is basically what he was saying there.
If people in ZANU-PF are really fed up with Mr. Mugabe, why then can they not tell him to step down? Because he says if that were to happen, he would oblige.
Well, the reality is that he has created over the years this culture of him being infallible, this culture of him being this very fearsome leader. So the point is, people in ZANU do not respect him anymore. They actually fear him. So they cannot tell him directly. But it's natural. You can clearly see that people don't want him, but they are afraid of telling him.
And that was political analyst Brilliant Mhlanga on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Britain.
Hello there. To mark Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary, Studio 7 will be giving out solar-powered radios or T-shirts for our lucky winners. Simply invite 10 friends to join our VOA Studio 7 Facebook page. Ask them to like our page. Keep their names so we can verify your claim. We will also be running a daily competition for lucky winners. You only need to answer a simple question about Zimbabwe's independence. The draw will be conducted April 18th, Independence Day. Don't be left out.
And the question for today is, who was the first ZANU leader? You know the answer? Text is to 202-465-0318. And the answer to yesterday's question is Kenan Sodindo Banana. A Zimbabwe's central bank governor says the financial services sector imported $216 million between January and April this year in a bid to ease cash shortages, but this has failed to improve the situation. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
There is no faction, there is no one in ZANU-PF who claims to be a leader of a certain faction.
Yeah, the issue is not the absence of unity. It is the absence of a succession plan. That is why.
Yeah, but this succession plan, but Comrade Mtaza, this succession plan is brought for discussion by outside the media, by foreigners. But this succession.
Sorry about that technical hitch. We'll get back to that story. But meanwhile, in 1979, while nationalist leaders were locked in negotiations for Zimbabwe's independence in England, ordinary people waited in anticipation for a breakthrough that would bring an end to years of war and destruction. With the country's Independence Day just a week away, some Zimbabweans say the fond memories of 18th April 1980 are in stark contrast to the prevailing hardships in the country, rendering the meaning of independence meaningless. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba brings us more.
52-year-old Anastasia Moyo, a Bulawayo resident, was a teenager at the height of the Liberation War in the late 1970s. Mrs. Moyo had to abandon books after the mission school she was attending was closed in 1978 as the war was reaching its climax. Mrs. Moyo says she vividly remembers Independence Day in 1980 as she, along with her siblings and other locals, celebrated the birth of a new nation with excitement mixed with happiness and fervent hope for a brighter future.
We had believed that Zimbabwe had come. It was my two sisters and my brother, and my father had actually given in to the pressure because we were teenagers at that time. We had even wanted to go and meet Joshua Nkomo in Harare, but it failed because of logistic problems in terms of transport. We went to Baba Fields and it was so full. People were singing the war songs that they used to sing there. It was just a hive of a happy event for the people. The air was filled with happiness.
Mrs. Moyo draws a sharp contrast between the first independence commemoration and the ones in the recent past. She says the optimism for a better life shared by the majority in 1980 is now turned into despair and frustration as life has been getting increasingly tough over the years. She says many people her age feel that despite the racial discrimination, they were better off under white rule.
Today is disastrous in that there is no industry. People are not working and there is no food on the table. Everyone is on the street. They are selling. And even if they are selling, you have the city council police who will occasionally arrest these people who are trying to make an honest living to pay rentals to send their children to school. So it's now so painful to be in Zimbabwe.
Mpo Mhlophe, another Bulawayo resident, says Zimbabwe's independence brought with it a mixture of happiness and a sense of relief. Mhlophe's parents had been heavily involved in the armed struggle, and she, together with her siblings, often had to stay with relatives as their Pelandaba home was constantly under siege from Rhodesian security agents. For Mhlophe, Independence Day was a family affair with a number of people converging at her parents' home for a get-together in honor of the day. Retired Colonel Patron Nketa Kuchwekaya was a cadre in the Zimbabwe People's Revolutionary Army, or ZIPRA, the armed wing of ZAPU, then led by Joshua Nkomo. Kuchwekaya operated in the northern part of the country. At the end of the war, he was one of the people responsible for overseeing the movement of ZIPRA combatants into the assembly point at Rukomechi in the Zambezi Valley. Kuchwekaya spent Independence Day confined in the camp with other ex-combatants, but says there was an all-round feeling of happiness.
We were celebrating that independence has arrived. They came to deliver some OPEC beer. I think that's what we saw. There was not much activity happening. But we're rejoicing that at least the country is liberated. We just hope that things were going to work okay for everybody.
Kuchwekaya laments the prevailing hardships and says the fallen heroes who gave their lives for the independence of the country must be turning in their graves.
There is one thing that you can feel around the country, especially amongst the youngsters. Poverty is growing. The few rich are getting richer each day. People have got multiple farms, and some people have got nothing. Factories have been closed, and things are not working for everyone. Whilst we are celebrating, all these people who died liberating in the war of liberation, if they're given a chance to look back and say what is happening in this country, honestly, they'll be disappointed.
Sifas Msipa, a veteran nationalist who is one of the few senior former ZAPU members remaining, also has a very clear recollection of Independence Day. Like most nationalist leaders and thousands of Zimbabweans, Msipa, who had participated in the Lancaster House negotiations in England, was at Rufaro Stadium in the then Salisbury, where the main celebrations took place.
Oh, it was a wonderful day. You know, it was wonderful to see Prince Charles bringing down the Union Jack and Mugabe hosting the Zimbabwe flag and so on. It was a glorious moment we will ever always remember.
Msipa agrees that independence no longer has much meaning to ordinary Zimbabweans.
I know speeches will be made, promises will be made, but life is getting tougher and tougher for our people. And yet, before independence, we were giving people that hope it would be a land of plenty, a country full of milk and honey, meaning there would be enough to eat, people would be happy. But all that is not happening. The speeches you hear at Independence Day and so on are just platitudes and nothing more.
Despite the current circumstances, there is no doubt that those who were old enough to be part of the first Independence Day celebrations have pleasant memories, which most of those born after independence find hard to comprehend, owing to the problems that have been brought on by several years of economic decline. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
Coming up, it's soccer time. Will Dimbare win or lose again this weekend? Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. U.S. President Barack Obama kicked off yesterday's final episode of American Idol, the Fox reality television series that ended its 15-season run after helping dozens of singers launch their careers. The U.S. State Department says it's profoundly disappointed in the Republic of Congo's election, which allowed President Denis Sassou Nguesso to extend his 32 years in power. Islamic State extremists are losing ground in Iraq. Their leaders and fighters are being eliminated, and the group's rank-and-file members are losing hope, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said today. And Russian aviation authorities say the pilots of a Fly Dubai passenger plane that crashed in Rostov-on-Don on March 19th had acted in a contradictory manner minutes before the plane crashed into the ground, killing all 62 people on board. Like we promised earlier on, here is the story in which the Zimbabwe Central Bank governor says the financial services sector imported $216 million between January and April this year.
John Manguya, who was called by the Parliament's Finance Committee to explain the current cash shortages in the country, said that the central bank imported $145 million between January and April this year, while six banks imported $118 million during the same period. Manguya said only six banks, down from 10 last year, had imported money, with the Stanbic Bank accounting for the bulk of the money at $45 million. He said the central bank is taking a number of measures to improve cash problems in the country, including the use of plastic money to reduce the pressure on cash supplies.
So we are importing more cash to meet the demand. But unfortunately, it's not overnight to be received in Zimbabwe. There's a lead time between placing an order and receiving of the foreign exchange. It can take a week from ordering to utilization.
Apart from importing cash, Manguya said there was need to boost production and craft policies that attract foreign direct investment. He added that the opening of the tobacco marketing season would improve the cash situation. He said the high cash demand was largely caused by the payment of civil servants' bonuses, the importation of maize owing to the El Nino weather phenomenon, and withdrawal of huge amounts of cash for speculative purposes due to lack of confidence in the banking sector. Manguya noted that Zimbabweans are no longer keeping money in banks due to high bank charges and failure to pay meaningful interest on deposits. Current cash shortages have seen banks limiting cash withdrawals to as low as $50 per day as banks try to ration cash among their customers. Asked why the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe cannot revert to the use of the Zimbabwean dollar, which it can easily control, Manguya said that was out of question.
We agree with you about lower currency, but not now, because we haven't satisfied the conditions which we do believe are necessary for us to proceed with the law currency.
Zimbabwe's import bill stands at $7 billion against a $3 billion export bill, and Manguya said this could be rectified by boosting production and exports. The country's major foreign currency earners are tobacco, gold, platinum, diamond, and diaspora remittances. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai says his party will go ahead with his planned protest over missing diamond proceeds of up to $15 billion. The party was asked by the Joint Operations Command to postpone their protest, which was supposed to be held yesterday. JOC, a state security organ of Zimbabwe's Securocrats, was concerned that the planned MDCT march clashed with President Robert Mugabe's meeting with war veterans. Tsvangirai speaks with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about the march.
This march demo is being organized under the theme of poverty. Poverty, which is now become endemic. It's no longer something to hide. It's something that is endemic to every family, to every Zimbabwean. And the question is, why demonstrate? We are demonstrating in order to express public discontent on the inability of ZANU-PF even to respond to various areas of national crisis. So that's what the purpose is. And we're also saying massive unemployment, poverty has increased. And besides, where is the $15 billion which President Mugabe said is one missing? It's a national expression of discontent, and we cannot just watch things.
Will Mr. Tsvangirai be leading from the front?
There's no need to lead from the front. We've always been part of this public expression. There's nothing new there. We want to make sure that we are part of that expression.
And you are going to participate? That's the question.
Yes, definitely. And we are inviting everyone, every Zimbabwean who feels that this is the moment. We are not trying to overthrow government. We are just trying to express to government that this is the time to focus on the issues confronting the people.
And that was MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. President Mugabe announced recently that diamond proceeds worth $15 billion were looted in Manicaland province.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Syrian regime aircraft reportedly violated the month-long cessation of hostilities by bombing the Deir al-Asafir district in southeast Damascus. More than 30 people, including women and children, were killed and dozens were injured. The United States is appalled by aerial strikes of March 31st on a school and hospital in the Damascus suburb. We condemn in the strongest terms any such attacks directed at civilians, said U.S. State Department spokesperson John Kirby. France also condemned the attack, saying it violated the truce. This abject act is designed to terrorize the Syrian people and sap efforts by the international community to find a political solution, said French Foreign Ministry spokesperson Romain Nadal. In joining the cessation of hostilities, the Syrian regime committed to full implementation of UN Security Council Resolution 2254, which called for an immediate end to any attacks against civilians and for all parties to comply with their obligations under international law. The United States calls for any attacks directed at civilians to stop immediately. As the U.S. continues to support UN-led negotiations towards a political transition that can end the Syrian conflict, we reiterate, said spokesperson Kirby, the need for all parties to the cessation of hostilities to comply with the terms and to observe international law.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And now in sports news, the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League race enters its second round this weekend with focus on Dynamo's coach Paulo Jorge Silva. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
Dynamo's impatient fans are already calling for Silva's head following the club's 3-0 defeat by league champion Chicken Inn last week and a number of controversial incidences off the field of play. Another loss this time around against Triangle will not be taken lightly, as Dynamo has not gone through such a disastrous path since 2011 when Lloyd Mtasa was sacked after only 6 games. Dynamo have given Silva 4 matches but he might not reach there, as club president Kenny Mbaiwa has come out in the open that their tradition is to fire coaches who fail to deliver.
If he doesn't deliver, our coach at Anamos is we don't keep you fire.
However, Silva is buoyant and has promised he will deliver and bring the Castle League title to Dimbare despite the current setbacks.
I want to be champion and go to work every day hard for be champion. It's difficult. We have more 50 teams fighting and good teams, but I'm here for win. I go to win.
The biggest game of the weekend is the one at Babafield Stadium between On Fire Highlanders and last season's third place team, FC Platinum. Both teams posted wins in their opening matches of the season, with Highlanders thumping Wange 3-0, while FC Platinum were 2-1 winners over Cholocho Pirates. Although Highlanders have come out clear that their aim is to regain the title of the last one in 2006, FC Platinum coach Norman Mapeza says they do not want to put themselves under pressure by setting themselves some targets.
Thinking we'll see how it goes come end of the season. Otherwise, if we're going to give ourselves some targets, we're going to put ourselves under a lot of pressure.
At the same time, champions Chicken Inn are favourites to collect maximum points against newly promoted Border Strikers, while Ongezi Platinum Stars entertain Capes United. Both teams got off to a perfect start with Ongezi Platinum hammering Mutare City 3-0, while the Green Machine also hit 3 goals past Chapungu. Wange and Chapungu both lost their opening games by identical 3-0 margins and engage each other at Ascot Stadium tomorrow. Another Blower derby is on the cards, this time between new boys Blower City and Cholocho Pirates. Blower City picked up 1 point when the season opened, while Cholocho Pirates lost to FC Platinum. Now to rugby. The Zimbabwe Sevens team, the Cheetahs, are in Hong Kong, betting to qualify to join Kenya and South Africa as Africa's representatives in the Elite HSBC World Series. The Zimbabweans are in the same group with Germany, Hong Kong, and the Cayman Islands, which Zimbabwe Rugby Union's Director of Rugby, Brighton Chivandire, thinks they can win. The top team in the group goes through to the final qualifying round. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about war veterans' fresh demands, including an increase in monthly payouts. If you wish to join the show, call us at 001-202-465-0318. The number again, 202-465-0318.
Tell myself that it could work out.
Maybe it's not meant to be.
You make me hate myself for somebody else,
when it should be you and me.
Though my friends keep saying we'll get better,
maybe it's not meant to be.
Love is for two, but I feel like I'm in it alone. No, no. You say that you're always.
I shut down, bringing our show to an end, but before we go, a quick recap of today's top stories. Victoria Chitepo, the widow of the late national hero Herbert Chitepo, has died. President Robert Mugabe says Zimbabwe will try all it can to make war veterans happy. And Zimbabwe's central bank imports cash in an attempt to ease money shortages. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C., wishing you a restful weekend. Good night, Zimbabwe.